You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to Diablo's Digest, new episode. Very excited. It's been a minute. I'm here with my co-host. Everybody welcome, Zachary Ross.
Dude, am I a co-host now?
Yeah, man. It goes between you and Yvonne, and that's today, pretty much it, you know?
Today at my job, we were talking about the people who founded different candy bars, and I was Googling like the Hershey's dude, and I was Googling like Reese from Reese's, and somebody I work with was like, yo, if I ever start a podcast, Zach, you're gonna be that guy. And I was like, I'm doing that tonight at 8:30.
That's awesome. No, you are that guy. You and I talked about this for a while. You know what's funny that you mentioned candy is like I'm a big candy guy, but not like chocolate, you know. But I did try.
I am a chocolate guy.
I'm a big YouTuber too. So like I tried that new Mr. Beast Feastable bar. Much better than the old one, for what it's worth, if anybody's said. The old one is not good.
I like Mr. Beast, though.
Yeah, me too, man. He just signed some crazy deal with Amazon to do a show that's going to be bigger than that Squid Game show on Netflix, so that should be pretty interesting.
That rules. Like, real money?
Yeah, real money. It's, like, the largest prize ever given out. It's, like, insane. I'll have to send you the link. Yeah, so Zach, since last episode, man, you and I have been busy, dude. We dropped a new Slided track a couple weeks, like 2-3 weeks ago, I think.
Depending on, too. When's this come out?
Probably tomorrow. I'm going to try to get it out.
Okay, so, all right. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, too, Thursday, we have a sick-ass festival. We're playing Massachusetts with Cruel Hand.
Yeah, fellow this, label mates.
Gum Scab, tons Fuck of other bands are playing. But yeah, we just put out a song called Son of a Bitch. And
Everyone check that out. Well, I want to talk about Gum Scab, man, because actually I got to see you guys play Connecticut the weekend that song came out, and you guys were out with Gum Scab and a couple other cool acts. Well, tell me a little bit about that, man, because that was the first time I got to see them.
They ruled. Yeah, if you're into like blast beats and like, you know, they have their like mosh and everything, like a hardcore band, but they also have like power violin parts. The singer Nick is like has a super dope like higher pitched voice, super angry sounding, and it's just like fast thrashy like anti-cop awesome shit.
Connecticut show was wild, man. It's like it was at a shout out Cherry Street Station. Really solid crowd for like a mostly touring bill. It was almost all
And because too, the world was supposed to play that show,
and so it was Hard Feelings, and they
and the turnout was still sick.
Yeah, man, you guys they made you guys headline with a 4-song set or 5-song set, which is fucking wild.
8-minute set, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was it Nick's first show too with you guys.
Like second.
Yeah, so that's super sick. What else has been going on, Zach? You've been busy, dude, right? You got work shit going on. MLB's got you busy as fuck.
Yeah, doing baseball shit. Writing. We're writing a lot of Slighted right now.
Fuck yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Trying to like push it artistically a little bit so it's not without like changing what it is in its core, but making it a little more to the next level as far as like expressing ourselves for real.
Yeah,
You
fuck
know
yeah.
what
No,
I mean?
dude, Pete, the reaction to the Slighted stuff has been, I mean, you're seeing it too really well. You and I have already talked, and you know, we're gonna do a vinyl for it, which is gonna be super sick. I really think that record just it needs the vinyl treatment.
Yeah, follow us if you're listening on Slighted Rips on or no, that's the Ola. It's Slighted underscore
Yeah.
on Instagram. Or look for me, Zachary Ross. There's a link
Yeah,
in the
we'll have links for everything.
yeah.
You know, I was gonna shout out to my dad today. We went out and saw the new Godzilla King Kong. It was fucking awesome. I recommend everyone going to see the MonsterVerse shit is sick. Zach, I
Dude,
don't know if
I
you
love that shit. I love that shit.
Oh yeah, dude, I wanted to go see it week of, but me and my dad been seeing all of them since you know, since the first Godzilla and the Kong Skull Island. So
Yeah.
it mostly falls around the same time of March, April.
I didn't know there was a new Godzilla Kong
Yo,
deal.
it's fucking awesome, dude. It's so just insane with just
The last one
the
was sweet.
effects and the graphics and just the whole thing. And yeah, it's wild, man. Like I really feel like they don't need the human characters anymore in it. They barely show them. So maybe just next one, maybe it'll just be just.
We're just waiting to see them fight.
Yeah, I mean, dude, and the fight shit is so sick. We watched it in IMAX, so it was just
That
it was
fucking
fucking awesome. What else you been listening to, Zach? What else is going on in your world before we get with our guest today?
like a lot of like I'm 36, so a lot of rap from when I was like 21, 22 recently. I've been listening to a lot of like Chief Keef.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah. We saw a lot of Chief Keef at the shop. It's funny because the kids who come in to get him, I always make a comment like, oh, that's so sick that you actually, because they'll be like younger kids sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, that's so sick that you're into the Keef, you know?
Yeah, let's see. Chief Keef. There, I've been listening to a lot of Big L recently.
Sick.
There's an old hardcore band from Wilkes-Barre back in the day called Frostbite, and
Oh
I used
yeah,
to.
I remember Frostbite. That ended up becoming blacklisted, right?
The Cold World,
Cold World.
same kids, and then his younger brother's in Title
Title
Fight.
Fight, yeah, which is sick.
And I loved that Frostbite record when I was a teenager.
That
But
was on Dead by 23, right? Which was Robbie
yes.
Red Cheek's label.
Yep.
Yep, yeah. Shout
And
out,
I've
Robbie.
been spinning that this week. That's in my recently played. So, like, shout out Frostbite, the Russians, Alex and
Yeah.
Ben.
Super talented, man. Yeah, especially with the title fight going into Glitterer, which is super sick, which is like Ned's new shit. But yeah, man, we got a good show today. We're gonna have a guest on, which you know we love to do that.
Yeah, we.
Zach, tell everybody a little bit about who we have coming up.
We got our boy Joe Stanley. You may probably know him from, if you don't just know him from going to hardcore shows in like New Jersey and Pennsylvania. He's a big bald guy. He's tons of tattoos. He's hard to miss. But if he sang in a band called The Departed, that's pretty important for the last few years in South Jersey and Pennsylvania. He does a print shop called Nameless Prints where he does merchandise for hardcore bands.
Awesome.
And he has a new nonprofit for veterans that he's going to tell us about.
Fuck yeah, man. All right, well, we're gonna get Joe on. Give us 1 second. Hang tight. All right, we're back. Thank you so much for waiting.
We've got
So yeah, we got a cool guest. Zach, go ahead. Give our friend an intro, man.
Joe Stanley here, a prominent member of the Northeast hardcore scene, particularly Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I would say. Sings in a band called The Departed, quite a big deal to a lot of people around here. He's got a print company and he's got a new nonprofit, I believe, he wants to talk about. And what's up?
Fuck yeah.
Is that right? Is that all correct?
The nonprofit is called it's called Perseverance.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's what I'm doing is I'm raising money through the clothing line to provide veterans with PTSD free gym memberships to help
Oh,
them
that's
with their,
awesome.
mental disorders. Because obviously, the VA just doesn't do enough. And sometimes people need to step in and help these guys out,
Yeah, that's awesome, Joe. Before we go into the Perseverance thing, man, let's talk a little bit about your love and history of hardcore, man, and involvement, since that's a big part of our show. So Zach told me you're from the Philly, New Jersey area. Tell me about how you started going to shows and some of the first shows you went to, because obviously back in my day those were some scary scenes, man.
Yeah, man. I got my start at City Gardens in Trenton, New Jersey. That was where I started frequenting a lot. I mean, I've seen some of the legendary shows there. Like, I think it was like Sick of It All and Biohazard or something like that. You know, I've seen Judge there, Earth Crisis, all the legendary bands I saw there when they were not that big, you know.
That's so awesome.
And shows then were like way different than they are now. I mean, you could be like a not hyped band and still draw 1,000 people.
Oh, dude, I remember like when I first started going to shows, my older brother used to take me, and like, yeah, man, I mean, I remember going to see stuff like, you know, say 25 to Life in Connecticut, and there would be 200, 300, 400 kids waiting outside to go into these shows. And like at, you know, some of these clubs, it's like, it didn't even matter what show it was. You would just show up because there was such a movement going on, you know?
Yeah. And then I played in 94 or 95. We started a band called Clubber Lang.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I remember Clubber Lang.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, you know, that's where I got into like the whole, that's when I got into like Fury of Five and like E-Town and like in with those guys and everything. And then,
oh, dude, some legends there, man. I mean, I can remember some of the first Fury 5 shows I went to, like at like 7 Willow Street in like Port Chester and stuff. And man, dude, those were some scary fucking pits, dude, for sure. Like,
yeah, for real.
But I do remember one of the things I loved about Fury 5 specifically was, you know, their style when they would play live. I mean, I had never seen, you know, like Jay Fury would do the kicks, and it was just like this crazy thing at the time, whereas it's a little more common now because bands can sort of, you know, watch shows and kind of learn some moves and stuff, you know, so to speak, kind of get like a little trained or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I remember going to some of those Fury shows and just being absolutely terrified when the pit would come through.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They were pretty intense to say the least.
Yeah. So tell me about your first bands. How did you get involved into playing music? Was it something like, you know, you went to these shows and you're kind of like, man, fuck, I think I could do this, or tell me a little bit about
that. Pretty much. I mean, I remember I got a guitar early on. You know, I started a band in high school, didn't go anywhere. And then, you know, it was, Clubber Lang was probably the first band that actually did anything notable. You know what I mean? And I filled in for One for One for a while too.
Yeah. Dan, shout out Dan. One for One was one of my favorite bands, man.
Yeah. I did a tour in Canada with them, played a couple local shows. Actually, we played a show where like, Hatebreed played before us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was in Long Island. It was like 25 to Life, One for One, and then Hatebreed. So it was like, yeah, it was crazy. Crazy now that like Hatebreed, you know, obviously Perseverance comes from the Hatebreed album, you know what I mean?
Yep. So, yeah, totally. I mean, I you know, I have my history with Hatebreed, of course, worked with Josta for years.
Yeah.
Definitely got that first kind of front row view into the Perseverance album and stuff. You know what's cool about Clubber Lang was that you guys were on Endless Fight Records, which was like in its own right a pretty fucking cool label who did a lot of cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you guys do you remember how that came together?
I don't remember that at all, actually.
No, it's all good, man. Yeah, I mean, they put out stuff like Overcast, Dissolve. They did a lot of those cool comps, the Over the Edge compilations they were called, which, you know, obviously had Hatebreed and a bunch of cool stuff like that. But I definitely remember the Varsity Violence album being on that. And that was kind of like my first exposure to the band coming through to Connecticut. And Endless Fight at the time was already Connecticut based, which was super cool. So we're always seeing you guys stuff. And I know that Josta brought you guys over a couple times to play shows here in Connecticut, because I remember booking some of those. I think one was at the Hanover House. If I remember, which was super cool. So yeah, tell me about starting the bands and kind of getting involved in the music part.
Yeah. So, you know, I joined the Army for a while. So after Clubber Lang, I moved away to Colorado.
I was going to ask back. That, Joe. I was going to ask you that. How did, like, where were you at in, like, I'm just interested in, like, a hardcore kid in that time who's deciding, like, you know, this is cool and all, but I'm going to join the Army. Like,
yeah,
for real.
I wasn't going anywhere in life. I had nothing going on for me, really. Like, all my jobs were just, like, delivery driver jobs and like just like stuff like that, you know what I mean? And like, I was like, I need to do something, you know? So I was like, I'm going to join the army. And it was right after 9/11 too.
Wow.
But don't get me wrong. I didn't join because like, I was like, oh, like fuck these dudes. I'm going to go to their country and fuck them up. But I just needed to get, you know, I needed some experience, you know?
Action.
So I'm not trying to like play like I was some like hero for joining, you know? So yeah, I signed up to be a diesel mechanic over there because I figured that was a good job to have. You know, you're always going to need to work on cars. Mm-hmm. And went over there, got deployed pretty much immediately, got shipped in with 4th Infantry Division. And I don't think I really got to work on any any Humvees or anything, damn. You know?
Yeah,
so, I did learn some things here and there, and I did. When I came back from the military, I was a mechanic for a little while for like a chain, you know, company. But, you know, eventually I also was injured over there and did something to my neck, and just working in the field, in the auto mechanic field, just was like, it was irritating the injury so bad. I just couldn't do it.
Damn.
And then we got this manager in that just didn't like me or whatever because he was trying to intimidate me. And I'm just like, nah, you know, hey, I'm not the guy. And then, you know, he found a reason to fire me. But honestly, he did the best thing for me at the time because that's when I got into screen printing too.
True.
And that's what led me to starting Nameless Prints. And then from there, you know, I ended up starting that band. Well, first I started that band Sicker Than Most.
I was going to ask you about Sicker Than Most.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you know that lasted a while. Like right when you
came home, pretty much.
What's that?
Was Sicker Than Most kind of like your first deal after coming home?
Yeah, that was like the first band I started after I came over from Iraq. Of course, I came back with a drug addiction. I was on all sorts of opiates, you know, from getting injured, and got off them. Met a bunch of guys that were you know, in the same boat, and then started a band together. And, you know, we did some notable things. We weren't that good of a band, to be honest. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people liked us and everything, but like looking back, listening back on me, it was fun, but like, we were not a good band. And then, we ended up, disbanding and forming that band Departed.
Which is a great band that a lot of people love.
Yeah. Departed was finally the band that I wanted to be in that sounded like the band I wanted to be in, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I wanted to start a band that was very behemoth oriented, but with like a lot of hardcore element, like All Out War. And I feel like at first we successfully did that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think of you guys as like Blackened Beatdown, kind of.
Yeah, it was definitely like a black metal style beatdown.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a lot of, guests come on. We had Nick from an Aborted Memory sing on one of the tracks, and then later on we ended up losing our original guitar player. We got this other guy. The tone definitely took a change, and like the you know, style of music definitely went more from like that dark and heavy, like, or that dark and like black metal beat down to like a regular beat down, you know, sound. And but we got to do some cool things. We did a song with Stickman called Blood for Blood. We put out like a really cool video for it. We got shit on a lot for it because, like, you know, we acted out some scenes from The Departed, and you know, it's like, you know, it's all right. What, we can't like movies, you know?
Listen,
like,
man, you got to have fun with this shit. I think that's the whole thing, you know.
Exactly. But but now, I mean, and then ever since then, you know, like, I ended up getting divorced. That took a lot out of me. It took a lot of time away from the band. Some other members, you know, they got some stuff going on too. So we just really haven't been able to pick back up. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's never going to happen again, but right now it's not looking too good, you know?
No, I hear you, man. I've been there. Trust me. I get it.
Yeah.
It's you. It might not be in the cards right now, but it doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah, and you can always come. The one thing that's cool about hardcore is that, like, especially right now, man, it's such a huge and open stage that anyone can kind of come in. You know what I mean? And it doesn't feel like, even if you've been out the game for a minute, you can still kind of come back in and not feel like weird, you know, which is,
right.
Which is the
hardcore one thing. Hardcore kids don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
They really don't.
No.
They don't.
No, not at all.
It's the best.
So
I mean, I still go to shows. I'm still at shows pretty regularly. So it's not like, you know, I'm completely out of the game, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, Joe, tell us a little bit about after playing in the bands. What came next? Was it the screen printing thing that got you? Was that the next kind of journey for you? Or was it the nonprofit?
The screen printing was kind of during.
Okay.
Man, I started, like, in my parents' basement, you know. And
had you learned? Had you done this before? Or you kind of were just like, I'm going to buy a
no,
setup?
I did it a little bit in high school. Like, I did it, like, the Clever Lang shirts we printed in my parents' basement.
Cool.
You know, but it was like one of those ones that you just cut with like an X-Acto blade. This was like in the '90s, you know, so nothing like now, you know. I did have a guy kind of like show me how to do the modern screen printing, you know. And you know, it took me a while to learn it. And honestly, like the first couple shirts I did sucked. I don't know why anyone bought them, you know what I mean? Like I can't even like think looking back at pictures of them, I'm like, oh my God. You know, like but you know, I kept going with it, and I kept getting better. And then eventually, like, you know, I had bands like Wisdom and Chains asking me to do their merch. You know, early on, like printing in my parents' basement. I mean, I was printing for some pretty like big, you know, notable bands. You know,
yeah, it's awesome.
You know, so like, eventually, it got big enough to my parents were like, yo, you got to get out of here. Like there's boxes all over our house.
Yeah. T-shirt blanks and ink and all kinds
of
shit.
So like, you know, so we found a spot in Bristol Borough, PA, you know, right outside of Philly.
Awesome.
And that's where I'm at now. And that was 9 years ago that I got the spot on Mill Street there, and I'm still there. So
dude, that's amazing, man. Congratulations on the long run, especially like keeping a brick and mortar retail is fucking one of the hardest things ever, man. Like, you know, I have a record shop here in Connecticut, and as much as I love it and as much fun as it is, sometimes I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is so much work. You know what I mean? Like, man,
especially right now, like January to now has been like the worst months.
Oh, bro. I totally get it. You know, it's tough, especially like when you're, you know, kind of hustling for yourself. So it's not like, oh, every 2 weeks I'm getting a check from somebody and it doesn't matter if I don't, you know, feel it's like, you're kind of like, you're on your own in so many ways. You know what I mean? Dude, whether it's like hustling for work, then chasing people down to get paid, remembering to ordering shit. It's a lot of fucking work, man. Right. So dude, congrats to you for nine years at that location. That's amazing. Out of all that, Joe, so did you, as you started growing, like the print company, was the natural next step was for you to kind of start this like new venture with the Perseverance thing? Or tell me a little bit about that journey getting into that.
Right,
did so those two things kind of come out of each other, or?
I mean, they directly correlate. What happened was, you know, my life circumstances changed after COVID. You know, me and my ex-wife, we split up, and I went into a really bad depression. You know, my PTSD was actually coming back like through the roof. Prior to that, I got into the gym, you know, and I started just really focusing on physical fitness. And instead of, you know, unfortunately at the end of my marriage, I did start drinking a lot, and you know, focusing on physical fitness kept me from doing that. You know, it was like, instead of going to the bar, I went to the gym, you know. Yep. And definitely did wonders for me. You know, you feel good from the endorphins and all the energy you're releasing and everything. But then once you start like noticing a difference in your appearance too, it's like, it's that confidence level is up, you know, and it just, it's a description I can't really even put into words, you know? So I feel like if I was able to do this for myself, you know, if I could help a veteran with PTSD, you know, get a step ahead of it, you know, maybe they won't have to go through some of the stuff that I had to go through, you know?
Yeah, and that's the problem, man, is that there's just such a shortage of you know, things, especially, you know, you hear so many horror stories about the VA and the treatment and all kinds of, you know, wait times and stuff like that. I've had a couple friends, you know, who are veterans, and yeah, they're doing similar things to you, Joe, just kind of like, you know, they felt stuck, whether in a situation they weren't getting the best thing or whatever. And then they took it on themselves to push, which is awesome. I think that's so much of that is kind of like a hardcore kid thing in us, you know, where it's like, yeah. Oh, we can't fucking get it done. We're doing it ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about the perseverance thing. How does it go? You know, like, how does it work? Like, does somebody, if somebody needs help, do you reach out to them? Do they reach out to you? Or
say somebody's listening to this right now who's like, I need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go to Perseverance. They go to www.perseverance.org and contact us, or email me at perseverance6@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll get you in the right direction. Right now we're very limited in funding. You know, so we are accepting donations. The Venmo is, Perseverance Fitwear at Venmo. And then obviously the, sales from t-shirts go to help fund this too. So that is persiv.bigcartel.com.
And I'll have links for everybody for those in the show description. So make sure you check that out. I'll grab those from Joan. We'll definitely pop those in.
Yeah. So I'm always dropping new designs at least every month, you know, like, I got two up right now. Cause May is also, Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some designs up that are not necessarily geared towards weightlifting, because, you know, people want to help out, but they don't necessarily lift weights, and they don't want to, like, you know, have something with weights on it.
You want to look like a poser?
Yeah. So, like, I got – May is also Remember Everyone Deployed Month with Memorial Day coming up. So I got a Marines-themed, you know, because red, you know, Marines-themed T-shirt. For sale. And then I got another one that's just geared more towards mental health, because my motto for this whole thing is, your mind is your opposition.
That's right? Cool. Because
your mind will play tricks on you and tell you things that, like, you're not worth it, you can't do it, it's not going to happen, you're not, you know, but your heart, you know, in your heart that you can do it.
Right.
So you gotta stop listening to what's going on in your head and focus on whatever it's inside, whatever that voice is inside of you. Like, you know, some people call it your soul, your heart, God, whatever, you know, whatever it is, that's what you got to pay attention to and push for that, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Tell us a little bit about the design process of the shirts, Joe. Who does the design? Do you mostly do it, or do you work with some other local artists, or how does that, do you try to work with other, you know, like veteran artists or anything like that?
Mostly it's my ideas. I had, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a guy named Seb One. He's a local graffiti artist and DJ. He did some stuff for me. Cool. He's helped me out. And actually, he was helping me out at my shop for a while. And he kind of pushed me to go into a different direction with things, too. So, like, because, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 9 years just on Mill Street. So I kind of got into my routine. And he's new at it, so he's got these, like, new ideas that he kind of, like, pushed me to do, and it's, like, it came out pretty awesome, you know? So, and then I, like, this design right here was made by a guy named Chris Ventura. He does designs for a lot of bands using, like, the Wilkes-Barre area of Pennsylvania. Cool. But a lot of it I do myself. A lot of it's just my logo on different stuff, you know, with some sayings on it. Other than that, I mean, I'm not against having somebody else, if they want to, like, you know, reach out and they have an idea.
Submit designs, or maybe do a collaboration with somebody, like another veteran or something, could be kind of cool.
Right. I did do a collaboration with Fury of Five.
Oh, sick.
Fury of Five. It said, better come strong or not come at all. You know, we might bring that back eventually.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's one of my favorite tracks from them.
I'm working on a collab. I got approval for it. I don't know if I can really say it right now. When does this come out?
Probably tomorrow. It'll definitely be out this week. So, like, probably tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, but definitely.
All right. Well, they're going to be those, like, hoochie daddy kind of shorts, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the booty shorts. Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you put them on, it's your time to shine.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. That's a good one.
Yeah, hopefully that's going to happen. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. Tell me too, Joe, a little bit about what's the future of Perseverance stuff look like for you? Like, where would you like this to go? What's the goal? Like, what's the long-term view for this project?
I mean, when I sit back and think about like the possibilities with it, I mean, it could become a national organization. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, right now I'm kind of focused on the Bucks County, Pennsylvania area, because that's where I'm at, and that's mm-hmm. where I can help people the best, you know. But I mean, if people want to get involved and help out, you know, I mean, this could become, you know, a national type deal.
And I was going to say, you could duplicate yourself eventually. You could duplicate yourself across the country. So, you know, maybe you have some sort of training or something that you come up with.
Yeah, right. Say, yeah.
You can be the guy now. I've deemed you the guy in California, in Southern California. Whatever.
Right. Right, right. I mean,
like that's Perseverance method or something like that.
Exactly. Or yep. It's like a jiu-jitsu style. It's like 10th Planet or something. Like, you're allowed to open a gym now. You're allowed to, yeah. You know, yeah. What I mean?
No, I mean, the possibilities are endless really with this. And there's so many veterans out there that need help, you know, and a lot of them just don't even know how to get it. Because I mean, I know when I first came home, they just load you up with drugs. You know, like drugs that you don't even need to be on, in my opinion. Like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not saying at all. Like, I mean, I still need to take medication sometimes, you know what I mean? But like, it's like they put you on drugs that are meant for to treat schizophrenia just to help you sleep. And it's like, you feel like a zombie, you know? Like, I remember like trying to work like that. And it's just like, I'd have to drink like 3 rock stars a day just to be able to function. You know, and
I'm not an expert by any means, but I feel like schizophrenia and PTSD are like different, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, I guess the way that I kind of remember the way the doctor explained it to me is that the thought patterns like the kind of the same, because you have these irrational thoughts, you know, but the side effects of these medications are like weight gain, you know, all sorts of like just crazy shit that if you just like tried to work out and try something natural, you know, like, I mean, I don't smoke weed or nothing. I went and got a medical card. I tried to do the cannabis route. It like made matters worse. You know, like I just like the anxiety level off of it was just crazy. I know there's a substance out there called Kratom that gets a bad rep, but I mean, if you get the right stuff, it's not bad for you. You know, yeah. Obviously you need that. You can't abuse it, but you know, it does do its job.
I did it one time. I think I had too much of it. I was about to play a show and somebody was like, want to try this? And I was like, yeah, it might not have been the best time for me to try it for the first time.
Yeah. It was time and place for everything.
Shit was legit though. It was.
I mean, I know the one time I was down in Atlantic City for a vacation and I cracked a tooth. And there was no way I was getting to a dentist. And I took a shot of the, you know, one of the stronger ones. And yeah, I did not have any tooth pain. I mean, yeah, I felt like I was on morphine, but I won't take that one again. Like that one was too strong. I won't take that one again. But I mean, you take like the ones that are capsules.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you take like 2 of them, it does its job. It's effective. You know? And it's funny because like, when I was trying to get off these medications that the military had me on, I was on this one that was called Tramadol, and it was a non-narcotic when they put me on it. But then 10 years later, they changed it to a class 4, right? So like all of a sudden it's a narcotic. And then I had problems getting the drug refilled. I'd go through withdrawal. The withdrawal was insane. And I remember like going to the doctor, I want to get off of this, you know? And we started weaning down and everything. And I remember like asking the doctor, I'm like, what about that stuff, Kratom? And she's like, I'd rather put you on Oxycontin than have you take Kratom. I'm like, yo, get out of here. Like, yeah, that's a little extreme.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah.
Considering like 20 years ago, marijuana was considered like bad, you know? And then all of a sudden flash forward to COVID, it's an essential business, you know, like, You can't tell me that there's like not something else behind that, you know. And I'm not trying to get all Joe Rogan on you, but like,
you can get Joe Rogan.
everything's money related. Everything's a kickback in that industry, and that's why I just feel like, you know, somebody else has to like step in and try to do something for these guys, you know.
Hell yeah, dude. It's your calling in life right now. It's a good one. It all makes sense. Your story adds up to that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And it's good for people to have different choices and options for things. Cause like you said, man, not everything works for everybody. So, right. You know, like this might be the perfect fit for someone who's, this is what they're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I want to talk about the music thing again, just to go back for a second, Joe. Are you listening to any new bands from your ear? Anybody that you think, we should be plugging?
I want
to
know.
Yo, Bayway.
I love that new Bayway record. Yeah.
Oh my God. They're killing it. Yeah. They are killing it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like stuck in my ways. I know there's a band called Discontent from Jersey that's out.
I played with them like a month or something ago. They rule.
Awesome. They're doing pretty good. Trying to think who else. I mean, obviously E-Town just put out a new song.
Yeah, Level which is Up. Great.
Honestly, I feel like that's one of their best songs they put out since E-Town, you know what I mean?
I'm an E-Town stan, man. Like I fucking love that band. I think the new song is like the perfect combination of everything they already did, but sounds so modern, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, it's so good. And the hook is a monster. That new Fury 5 on that
song
one.
With Phil Vibes on it from Irate. Have you heard cool. one?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yo, listen to that. That breakdown of that just is like, it's like why I play music anymore.
Oh, that's sick. I gotta listen to that, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. As far as new stuff, I mean, I honestly, like, you know, I'm 47 years old now, and I got a 8-year-old daughter. So a lot of the times I end up listening to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she's a big one at our shop, man.
I ain't gonna lie. I kind of catch myself singing the song sometimes.
Hey, dude, listen, man, she's great. She she gets a lot of people into our store, so I got so much love for Taylor Swift. Like I said, she puts out a record and people come in, man.
She likes that Olivia Rodrigo too.
Yeah, actually, she's huge.
Me and Violet did karaoke the other night, and she was nervous to sing the song.
Yeah. I was asking about that.
So I got up there and sang it with her. I put it on YouTube. It's on my Facebook page.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but she got over her nervousness, and then she did 5 songs by herself after that, you know. So
that's awesome.
And then she just started track. She had her first track meet today. She came in 4th in one of the races, I think like the 200.
Hell so
yeah. Yeah, man. It's awesome to watch her grow up and do all this cool stuff, you know. Like I understand like what my parents saw now when we did all this cool shit, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Joe, before we let you go, man, what do you want to plug here? Like give us the goods, man. So I'm definitely gonna link everybody over to the Perseverance stuff, but what else you got going on, man? Where else should we send some love for you?
Just honestly, just the Perseverance stuff, man. Like that's my
perseverance.org, right?
Shout out to what was the Cash App? What was the Cash App for people to donate?
Yeah, or just Cash App.
Venmo or whatever you say.
Venmo is Perseverance Fitwear or Perseverance FW Venmo. Yeah, we don't have Cash App set up yet. You can obviously just write a check to Perseverance Fitwear. Contact me, perseverance6@gmail.com. And then the Instagram too is perseverance_FW, so that's the Instagram.
Yeah, man. And we will have links for all of that stuff in the episode description. So definitely anyone who's listening, definitely be sure to you know, give Joe 5 minutes of your time, check out his site. Cause there might be something here that you can get behind or you can help him. Or maybe your friend needs a recommendation. Again, all of us in this scene are, working towards bigger things, man. And anytime we can get some help or some love from our community would be awesome. So, yeah, if you have anything that you could help Joe with, man, definitely check him out. Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview with us, man. It took us a little while today with my schedule, and I'm sorry about that. It took a little late, but we're so excited to have you on the Diablos Digest over here, especially like I said, going back to the Clubber Lang and Fury days, man, that just definitely struck some good memories for me, man, from first started going to shows. So yeah, thank you so much. I want to thank everybody else too that's been listening. I want to shout out Donnie and the Ruckus podcast. He's been filling in episodes for us while you know, we're still getting on schedule, but me and Zach have already talked and we're gonna get back on track. We're loosely there. This is kind of falls in with the last shop. So yeah, once again, man, thank you everybody so much. Stay subscribed. Joe, thank you so much for your time. Zach, you and I will check in with our guys next week. And yeah, that's it. Thank you guys so much.
Great. Thanks, guys. See you. Good night.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.